Some of you may have heard of a guy named John Wayne. If you haven't, you're probably from another planet. John Wayne acted or starred in 131 movies. We even named an airport after him locally. John Wayne, when he originally arrived in Hollywood, had the name of Marion Morrison, believe it or not. And there's certain things that make a Hollywood star successful, and one is you must have a name that people will remember, some sort of catchy name. Another thing you must have is a good speaking voice. A number of stars in the silent movies lost their jobs when talkies came along. And another thing you must have if you want to be a successful star is the ability to act. Enter Arnold Schwarzenegger. His accent was so thick you could hardly figure what he was trying to say. The guy couldn't act. People could hardly say his name, spell his name, or even remember his name. But Arnold had something Hollywood wanted, and that was muscle. Now, I'm an author. I've been writing books for about 25 years, and I know if you begin writing a book or someone begins reading a book, what you must do is grip their attention on the first page. If you don't do that, you're going to lose your reader. Enter the New Testament. Now, if you open the New Testament on the first page, what you'll see is genealogies. That is a whole stack of names, about 50 names, many of which are hardly pronounceable. But the New Testament has something that you and I want. And that is, it tells us how we can find everlasting life. That's the message of the New Testament. Now, some people say, the Bible's full of mistakes. I say to them, okay, can you tell me what is the thread of continuity through the Bible? Old Testament through the New Testament. People often don't know, perhaps you don't know, but the Old Testament is God's promise that he would deliver man from death. The New Testament tells us how he did it. The New Testament and Old Testament tell us that we die because we've sinned against God. We've violated an eternal law. That law is the Ten Commandments. And the law is kind of like a mirror. Now, when you and I got up this morning, one of the first things we did was go to the mirror. We did that because we wanted to see what damage had been done during the night. We look in the mirror, it's a horrible sight. The mirror tells us we need cleansing. We go from the mirror to the water to wash. Well, the Ten Commandments or God's law is like a mirror. When we look into it, all it does is reveal what we are in truth. It reveals that we're unclean in the sight of God and we need cleansing. That's all it does. So what I'm going to do is hold up the mirror for you this morning. Now, it's not going to be a pretty sight. Some of you will zone out. You'll say, I don't want to look in the mirror. It makes me feel guilty. But you must do it because you have to face a holy, righteous, and perfect God on the day of judgment. And if you face him in your sins, there will be terrible and eternal repercussions. So please don't zone out. Open your heart. Just listen for a few moments. You've got nothing to lose. Not here for your money. There's no collection bag going along. All I want you to do is open your heart and listen for a few moments. Now let's look at those commandments and see if we are criminals in the sight of God. You shall have no other gods before me is the first of the Ten Commandments. That means you and I should love the God who gave us life with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when I use the word should, the Bible calls it a command. We are commanded to love God because he gave us life, because he gave us eyes to see with, ears to hear with, a brain to think with, taste buds to enjoy good food with. God has lavished life upon you. He has blessed you with the ability to choose. I mean, that's your greatest gift from God. You can say no to the God who gave you life. There are repercussions, but it's your choice. You're not a robot. You have a free will. Have you loved God with heart, mind, soul, and strength? Before you say, yes, I have, think about the third commandment. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Ever done that? You say, I have done that. What you've done in doing that is taken the name of God, which godly Jews won't even speak or write because they consider it to be so holy. You've taken his name and used it as a cuss word to express disgust. That's called blasphemy. And the Bible says the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Jesus warned every idle word a man speaks, he'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So your very mouth, your heart shows that you don't love God. In fact, you hold God and his name in contempt. And what you've probably done is what I did before I was a Christian. I violated the second of the Ten Commandments, which says, you shall not make yourself a graven image. Now, I didn't make an idol and bow down to it, but I made an idol in my mind and bowed down to it. That is, I created a God in my image. I had this image of God as being benevolent and kind and loving with no sense of justice or righteousness or truth. And I snuggled up to this God that I'd created because I felt comfortable praying to him. And I did. Every night for 10 years I rattled off the Lord's Prayer to my God who didn't exist because he was a figment of my imagination. When you make a God to suit yourself, that's called idolatry. And the Bible warns idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's nip over to the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Maybe you haven't done that, but listen to what Jesus said. He said, but I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Man, when I read that 33 years ago, it was like a dart hit me in the chest. I thought, man, if that's the standard God's going to judge with on the day of judgment, I'm guilty 1,000 times over, daily. I'll be without excuse if God considers lust to be adultery. Then I'm guilty. Have you ever stolen anything? Then you're a thief. Ever told a lie? Then you're a liar. And the Bible warns all liars are their part in the lake of fire. Ever hated someone? The Bible says you are a murderer. That's how high God's standard is, and that's the standard he's going to judge you with on the day of judgment. He sees your thought life. Shall not he who formed the eye also see? Shall not he who created the ear also hear? That's what the Bible says. And shall not God who gave man knowledge also know? Nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to deal. There's not one hair on your head that God didn't make. There's not a hair on your head that he's not familiar with, the Bible teaches. And all things lie open and naked before his holy eyes. What will you do on the day of judgment? Now, can you see here that mirror shows us that we all need cleansing? The Bible says we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags in his sight. You say, well, what should I do to escape the damnation of hell? Should I clean up my life? That won't help you. All you do is be a reformed criminal. A criminal who's in debt to the law, but he doesn't commit crimes any longer. That won't help you. Should you get religious? Religion can't help you. Religion is man striving to get right with God by his own efforts. What you need is mercy from God. And it's available in Jesus Christ alone. God sent his son, born of a virgin. God became a human being in Jesus Christ. And this perfect, sinless man gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. Because without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there's no forgiveness of sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, oh, I believe in Jesus. Folks, it's more than believing in Jesus. The Bible says, demons believe and tremble. When the Bible uses that word belief, it means as an implicit trust. Like you trust a parachute to save you. You don't believe in the parachute, you put your trust into it. And the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, suffered and died for your sins, rose again on the third day and defeated death. And the Bible promises if you repent and trust in him, God will forgive your sins. He'll dismiss your case. He will cleanse you by the blood of Jesus as though you'd never sinned, so that when you stand before God on the day of judgment, God can allow you to go from the demands of eternal justice. He can let you live. And isn't that what you want? Isn't there a cry in your heart that says, oh, I don't want to die? It's a God-given will to live. Please listen to it today and yield your life to Jesus Christ. Cry out, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Folks, he'll make you a new person. You'll be born again with a new heart and new desires. And please do it today. Death could seize upon you today. You just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And the Bible says, if you say I do, you're a fool.